I hope you agree with that. Praise the Lord for kids, noise, crumbs on the floor, the whole package. Praise the Lord for kids. And praise the Lord for His Word, if you would take your Bibles. And open with me to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17. This is a favorite passage of mine, and one of the joys that I have is getting to choose what I'm going to preach on. And I'm not ready for the harlot yet in Revelation 17. We're going to get there. And by the time we get there, we're all going to be ready. We're all going to be like, it's about time you get to the harlot in Revelation 17. We will get there. But it's the start of a new year, and it's not too far along in the new year. We're not too far along for you to make a resolution or resolutions if you haven't yet. And, you know, we all say Happy New Year, right? You probably said that. How many of you have said Happy New Year in the last 5 days? All right, you've said that. And I think it's sincere. We want, you know, what you're saying is, hey, I really do want that you would have a Happy New Year. I think that's sincere. I think we probably, as Christians, we want even more than that for each other. We would want for each other to be blessed. Blessed New Year would be a more appropriate Christian New Year's greeting. Blessed New Year to you. I hope that God blesses you in the coming year. Well, to that end, I want to encourage you to read your Bibles daily. And I'm not going to answer the question, should you read your Bible every day? Because almost every one of you would say, oh yeah, I think you should. That'd be a good idea. I'm not even going to give you reasons why you should read your Bible every day. I could probably give you 20 reasons and you'd go, yeah, those are good reasons. I want to address the question, I mean, what difference really does it make? Let's say that we take two people, not you, we'll take Billy Bob. I always like, you know, picking on Southerners. Anybody from the South? I like the South. There you go. Then I'm picking on Mary Farr. Billy Bob and who else, Mary? Who else can we pick on? Bobby Sue, probably. And let's say that one of them chooses to read the Bible every day in 2020 and the other chooses not to. And the question we're going to deal with this morning is, well, what difference does that make? Does it really make any difference at all? You know, let's say that Bobby Sue chose to read every day, and at the end of the year she can say, well, I read through my Bible. Is it bragging rights? That's the difference that it makes? Well, it's far more than that. The title of the message this morning is Daily Bible Reading, What Difference Does It Make? And we're going to find the answer in Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 through 20. I do encourage you, as always, follow along in your Bibles, if you would, please. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18, also, it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him. And he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now these, as you probably know, these are words that Moses spoke to the children of Israel when they were about to enter into the promised land. And as you could tell from what I just read, these are words concerning Israel's future kings. And clearly, God's command to future kings was that they were to have, each one was to have his own copy of the Bible, and he was to read it every day of his life. To which you could say, well, A, I'm not an Israelite. And B, I'm not a king. And C, I'm not under the law. So let's move on to Revelation 17. Well, probably none of you are thinking that. But someone could make the argument that this is to Israel, this concerns kings, we're not under the law, and they could sort of explain this away and say, maybe an Israelite king had to read his Bible every day, but I don't. Let me remind you of two truths, great truths, concerning Scripture, so that you will understand that really what's happening in Deuteronomy 17 is that the Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning. The first great truth concerning Scripture is that it is all for our learning. It's all for our learning. Romans 15:4, a favorite verse of mine and probably yours too. For whatever things were written beforehand, that's a reference to Old Testament scripture, whatever things were written beforehand, these things were written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So let me give you a tip. Anytime you are reading the Bible, anytime you hear the Bible read, you ought to have this question in mind. Lord, what are you teaching us here? Lord, what are you teaching me here? What are you teaching us? The second great truth concerning all Scripture is that it's all for our living. It's all for our learning. Yes, we're supposed to learn things from the Bible, but it's all for our living. We're supposed to actually put these things into practice day to day. As a mom, as a dad, grandma, grandpa, worker, employee, boss, it's all for our living. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable, very good, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, in order that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So here's another tip. There are two good questions you should have in mind anytime you read the Bible or hear it read. Number one, Lord, what are you teaching me here? And number two, Lord, how do I apply this to my life? If you only read the Bible and asked those two questions and sought answers for them, you would be the better for it. So when we come to a text like Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 to 20, and we see that God here is commanding Israelite kings to read his word every day, we understand this was written not for them only. It was written not for them only. It's for our learning, and it's for our day-to-day life. There's something here for us to learn. There's something here for us to put into practice in our day-to-day lives. And what God is emphasizing here, I think you will see it in the text, what God's really emphasizing here is the difference that daily Bible reading makes. The difference that daily Bible reading makes, whether you're the king or whether you're the child of the king. It makes a huge difference. I would go so far as to say this is the truth behind the text. Daily Bible reading makes all the difference in the world for you. Daily Bible reading makes all the difference in the world for you. To follow along my little outline here, you might write these words down. Wisdom, obedience, humility, integrity, and life. Wisdom, obedience, humility, integrity, and life. You can be very sure that I tried to make an acronym out of that because I like acronyms. But it spells like WOHLI. W-O-H-L-I. That doesn't work. You could rearrange them and spell W-H-O-L-I, and that would be holy, but spelled incorrectly. Maybe you'll come up with something. But wisdom, obedience, humility, integrity, and life. And here's the first thing I want you to see. Daily Bible reading is the difference between wisdom and foolishness. Daily Bible reading is the difference between wisdom and foolishness. Look at verse 18. Also it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests and the Levites. Well, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, who is that? That is any future king in Israel. And clearly what God is expressing here is that he wanted every king to have his own copy of the Bible, as much as it existed in his day. Now, in those days, you could not go down to the bookstore and buy one. You couldn't get onto Amazon and order one for second-day delivery. The king actually had to write down for himself a copy from the master copy that was kept with the priests, that is, the Levites. And so the king was to write down a copy and carry it with him. Well, what about today? Think about this. How easy is it for you to have your very own copy, not just of the law, but of this entire book? How easy is that? Man, so, I mean, while we're sitting here, you literally could get on your phone and have one delivered to your house tomorrow. It's that easy. God wanted every leader back then to have his own copy of the Bible. Do you think he wants that today? And how many of you are in some way a spiritual leader? Well, if you're a mom, if you're a Christian mom, you are a spiritual leader. Your children are looking to you for an example. If you're a dad, a Christian dad, you are a spiritual leader. If you're a grandparent, grandma, grandpa, you are a spiritual leader. The children and grandchildren are looking to you. What does it look like to live for Jesus Christ in your latter years? If you are the big brother or the big sister, if you're not the youngest one in the family, then you have a little sphere in which you are a spiritual leader. If you are, let's say, you're second from the bottom in the line of kids. There's a bunch of kids and you're second from the bottom. Well, your little brother or little sister is looking up to you. I would say God wants you to have your very own copy of His book so that you know how to lead, so that you know what that looks like. And it says, notice verse 19, the question now if you have your own copy is what do you do with it? Verse 19, and it shall be with him. All right, it shall be with him. That his copy of the Bible should be with him where? Wherever he goes, right? It's supposed to be with him wherever he goes. Carry it with you, take it in the chariot, put it in the glove box. I don't know if chariots had glove boxes, but have one in there. So it shall be with him when? All the time. Just carry it with you. You know, like the old credit card commercial, don't leave home without it, right? Some of us remember that. I think that was American Express. Well, don't leave home without it. And really, these days, it's actually very easy if you have... All right, let's just do this. How many have one of these? Smartphone. I don't mean a Samsung. How many have a smartphone? Come on, lift them up. Show me your smartphones. Oh, look. Almost everybody. Well, you can get free apps that you can carry the Bible with you wherever you go. There's one called Literal Word that I think is really good. Literal Word. I think, Brian, somebody put me onto that. It's really good. And you can click one button, it underlines all these words, and then you click the underlined word, it tells you the Greek or Hebrew behind that word. You click another button, it'll show you every verse where that word's used. It's really cool. So you could check me while I teach and say, well, that's not the Greek word there. He's wrong. And I make mistakes. You can be a really good Berean with Literal Word app. So it says, verse 19, it shall be with him. And what's he going to do with it? Take a look, verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. Now stop there. Listen carefully. Listen carefully and think with me. You ready? You see where it says, he shall read? See those words? He shall read. I think every translation has that. He shall read. So, number one, question number one, a couple questions. He shall read how much of it? One chapter or two, three chapters or four or more? It doesn't say. It does not say. It doesn't say. All right? Second question. He shall read it for how long? 1 hour or two? 3 hours or four or more? Or 10 minutes? Or since it's with him all day, he can do 10 minutes here and 5 minutes there and then 30 minutes. Doesn't say, right? He has flexibility. It does not say how many chapters he needs to read. There weren't even chapters back then. It doesn't say how many minutes he needs to read it. It just says read it. Now, if he's a slacker, he's probably going to read like a line and quit. If he's an overachiever, he's probably going to read the whole thing every day. Probably not. How about he shall read it using which Bible reading plan? The sequential, chronological, canonical, Professor Horner, or Brian Bingham plan? Well, it doesn't say. He could start at the end and go backwards if he wants. He can start at the start and go, you know, I'm just going to read 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day. So I want you to understand that the king, and he's the king, right? I mean, the king has some flexibility. Even God is not telling him how much of the Bible he has to read in every day or in what exact order. He can use whichever app he wants. He can download all of them. He can try all the apps. Doesn't matter. Now, it does say he shall read it all the days of his life, so let's ask this. What if he's sick and he doesn't read that day? He has a stomachache. He has cataracts and has surgery and he can't see the text. Or to list 20 reasons why he might miss a day or two. And he comes to you for advice and says, hey, It says I'm supposed to read this all the days of my life, and I missed Tuesday. What would you tell them to do? Give up? Pastor Dan, we're going to have to meet after church. What would you tell them to do? He could memorize, but you know what? Hey, okay, so you missed a day. Well, keep going. You're not going to beat him over the head. He's the king. You're definitely not going to beat him over the head. Punch him in the kneecap. You're just going to say, hey, well, you know, actually, when it says he shall read it all the days of his life, it does not mean here's a law that if you miss a day, you're dead. Or here's a law that if you miss a day, quit. Or stop reading. Or throw it. No. The concept is this is a book worth reading from all the days that you can possibly read from it. Yes, ideally you should read from every day, but darest I ask for a show of hands, how many missed a day in 2019? Okay, well, a few of us missed a day. Good for you people who never missed a single day in 2019. There probably isn't anyone here. And there may be somebody who has a perfect record. It's not me. And I remember I was talking to Peggy about that, and she said, thank you for telling me that you missed days of Bible reading. That's encouraging. I don't get it read every day. Well, here's the question we're going to deal with. What difference does that make? If you read the Bible every day, what difference does it make? Well, point number one, it's the difference between wisdom and folly. Now, notice in the text, what's really being emphasized is the outcomes, the benefits, the blessings of daily Bible reading. Notice verse 19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and implied that he may be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that, verse 20, his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, that, verse 20, he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that, he is five times, pointing out five differences that daily Bible reading makes in the life of the one who reads it, whether he's the king or the child of the king or whoever. And the first difference is it's the difference between wisdom and folly. Notice it says that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. See if you can finish this proverb, and there will be two right answers. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there might have been a knowledge in there because both of those are correct. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. And what are we talking about? What's fear of the Lord? Is that, charades. How many played charades over the holidays? Fear of the Lord, that's this. That's not fear of the Lord, right? Fear of the Lord is not, oh my goodness, I'm scared to death. He's going to drop a rock. Fear of the Lord is a righteous, healthy reverence and respect for God and who he is and what he says, right? That's fear of the Lord. That's healthy. To not have fear of the Lord is very unhealthy for you. It's like a child who has no fear of his father. That is a very unhealthy thing, right? Fear of the Lord. Well, fear of the Lord is something that you learn over time, day by day, through the reading of his word. So this says to the king, any leader that's going to be a leader of God's people, by application that would be elders and deacons, and by application it would be all spiritual leaders of God's people, should be reading the word of God every day in order to learn to have a right, wise, healthy reverence and respect for who God is and what he's like and what he does and so forth. In other words, learn to fear the Lord. And what's the alternative? Well, Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And despise does not mean hate. Okay? A fool is somebody who says, and it lays there. That is despising God's word. In other words, I don't need that book. I don't need to read that. I don't need to hear from God. I don't need to know what he says. That is the trait of fools. They despise, that is, they look down on. They exalt themselves over. They think lightly of God's wisdom and God's instruction. So what difference does daily Bible reading make? It is the difference between wisdom and foolishness. It is the difference between growing wise day by day in the coming year, and really being a fool, being somebody who just doesn't really care to hear from God. By the way, did you know that there is a proverb that says, he who turns his ear away from hearing God's law, the person who doesn't want to hear God's word, even that person's prayers are an abomination to God. Wow, did you know prayers can be an abomination? It makes God sick to his stomach when somebody who cares nothing about his word all of a sudden comes and says, bail me out of my tragedy. Daily Bible reading makes a difference. It makes all the difference in the world. If you read your Bible daily in 2020, it will be the difference between you growing day by day to fear the God of heaven or living your life like a fool. And by the way, if it really is the difference between wisdom and folly, which it is, well, how much difference does wisdom make? I mean, imagine if you're growing and learning how to manage your time in a wise way, how to manage your money in a wise way, how to manage your relationships in a wise way. It makes all the difference in the world. It certainly makes all the difference in your world. Number two, obedience. Daily Bible reading is the difference between obedience and sin. It's the difference between obedience and sin. Verse 19, and it shall be with him, the Bible shall be with the king, and he shall read it all the days of his life in order that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and I think what is implied here, that he may learn to be. In other words, that he may learn goes with the second line as well. And that he may learn to be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. Now, see the word observe? In your Bible, it might say keep. And you might recall that when we were in Revelation 15, I think, we did a study of the word keep. You might have been here that Sunday. Let me remind you. The idea behind this word observe or keep is that you have been given a very precious gift, and there are three things that you're to do with the precious gift. Number one, you're to guard it. The word has this idea of guarding. It's often translated guard. You got this gift. You don't want anybody stealing it from you, taking it from you. The other idea behind the word observe or keep is that you're going to use it. Okay, it's like you have this gift and you don't want to let it lay somewhere. You're actually going to keep your eyes on it. You're going to observe it. You're going to make use of it. But there's a third idea in the word keep or observe, and it is the idea that you're going to pass this on to someone else. It's almost like a family heirloom. You have been given this great, precious, rare gift. You want to guard it. You don't want anyone taking it from you. You want to make use of it. You're not going to just let it sit there. But you're also going to pass it on so that somebody beyond you can enjoy the very same gift. Well, guess what? To keep God's word is something that you learn to do day by day as you read God's word. You learn that this is a precious gift from God. You don't want anyone taking it away from you, even if you were caught somewhere without a Bible, or if you got confined. And there are people who have memorized God's word and been put in prison and they still had it in their hearts, right? So you learn that this is a precious gift, you learn that it's to be applied to life, and you learn that if there's anything, any one thing you want to pass along to your children and grandchildren, it's this. You want to pass on the gospel and what it looks like to live for Jesus Christ. How do you do that? I mean, how do you do that? Read it. Read the Bible. Day by day, by day, by day. And two things will happen. You will learn to fear the Lord your God. That's you'll grow in wisdom. And you will learn to be careful to observe what God says, to keep it, to treasure it, to put it to practice in your life, and to pass it on to others. What's the alternative? Sin. That's the alternative. God, what does he know? What does he say? Right? By the way, in 2020, and it's already started, you are going to be paying attention to certain things. News, TV shows, movies, music, books. I would say tapes, but you're not going to be paying attention to those. Because you don't know what those are anymore. CDs, podcasts. right? You're going to be paying attention to these things. And what God is, he's not requiring that the king cannot read any books or listen to any podcasts. He's not requiring that the king only read from this book all day long every day, and he's not ever allowed to go to a show or be entertained by something. He's not setting that kind of a law. But he is saying, hey, in the midst of all the other things that you're going to be paying attention to, don't neglect this. In fact, you'd be really wise if what you do is everything else that you pay attention to in 2020, you view it through this lens. Right? This makes the difference between wisdom and foolishness. It makes the difference between obedience and sin. Third, humility. Daily Bible reading is the difference between humility and pride. Notice verse 20. It says, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren. Word picture, right? The picture is your heart here, right? And all your brethren around you, and your heart is higher and higher and higher, to where from your heart, you're just looking down on everybody. That's a pretty good word picture. For what? Pride. Arrogance. And most of us would admit, we don't like somebody who's arrogant. We don't like somebody who's prideful. We don't like somebody who thinks that he's better than all the rest of us. Or she thinks she's better than all the rest of us. And we don't like that. Well, and yet, on the other hand, I think we'd all admit that we're prideful. It is really easy to look down on other people because we think that we're better than them. That's by nature, sadly, that's what we think. So how do you get over that? How do you avoid that? Lord, what could I do so that my heart might not be lifted up above my brethren and I become an arrogant? Fill in the blank. A lot of words will go in that blank that aren't fitting in a sermon. How could I prevent that? Oh, read your Bible. Read your Bible, right? It says, okay, verse 20. See the word that? See the word that at the beginning of verse 20? I mean, what does that go with? It goes with read, right? And he shall read it all the days of his life in order that. Read in order that. Read the Bible in order that your heart might not become lifted up above your brethren. In other words, in order that you might remain humble. One commentator said this, the Scriptures, diligently read, are a powerful means to keep any man humble because they show him that even if he is the king, he is subject to a higher monarch to whom he must give an account. I like that. I actually don't, you might say, well, who said that? Well, I found it in two commentaries, so I thought one must have copied the other one. So I don't know who was original. We'll give credit to Benson. If you look up Benson, you'll find that in his commentary. But then I read further, I'm like, oh, who copied whom here? Really, this is the difference between humility and pride. Because guess what? If you neglect your Bible, you don't read it, you don't pay attention to what God says, you're probably not going to learn to fear the Lord. You're not going to become careful at observing his ways, and yet you're going to be so deceived that you're going to think you're better than everyone else. I mean, the more I study this, I think this makes a big difference. This makes all the difference in the world. Fourth, integrity. Daily Bible reading is the difference between integrity and hypocrisy. Look at verse 20. That his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. I love the word pictures here. So first of all, there's a couple of them. The commandment, you notice, is being put for the whole thing. There's a name for that. I think it's metonymy, but there's a word, there's a technical name for that. The commandment is referring to the entire book. And that's very common. If you read Psalm 119, the psalmist is calling God's word, the whole of it, the commandment. But also the commandment being put for the whole Bible is being presented as a path that you travel along. A road. He's picturing God's word as a path that you go down through life, and that you don't want to stray from at any time, either to the left-hand side or to the right-hand side. This is not politics, not talking liberal, conservative, it's not talking whatever. It's just the idea of that God's Word lays out a path that He wants you to walk within. And He doesn't want you to go off this side, and He doesn't want you to go off this side. But it is a word picture for something specific, and it is a word picture for integrity throughout the course of one's life. The idea of going off to the left or the right means that in some area of your life, you don't want to go off track. Like, you don't want to go off track in your marriage and not be loving your wife or loving your husband. You don't want to go off track as a parent and not be raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You don't want to go off track as an older man or older woman, like we've learned in Titus 2, and suddenly be unsensible about how you live. You don't want to go off track as a worker, like we learned this morning, and be not honoring your boss, not submitting to your boss. And so this is a picture of integrity. And if the question is, Lord, I want to be a woman of integrity. I want to be a man of integrity. I want to be a boss who has integrity. I want to be an employee who has integrity. I want to be a husband who has integrity, a wife, a parent, a single person who has integrity. How do I do it? Read your Bible. Right? I mean, that's too simplistic. But what's it saying? Let the king read in order that he doesn't go off to the left or the right. In order that he'll be a man of integrity in his home, in his family, in his marriage, in his work, in his governing of other people. The Bible defines, yes, the narrow way. And what you learn as you read it is Jesus is the way. And what you really need to learn to do is follow him. That's what Jesus said, follow me. Right? He is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. How do we follow you, Lord? Read my word. Right? If you abide in my word, then you're truly my disciples. How do I do that? Read it. Now, here's a homework assignment. How many adverbs, those are L-Y words, right? How many adverbs can you come up with for how to read it? Well, daily is the one we're focused on today, right? But read it prayerfully, carefully. Those two would probably cover everything else you come up with. Prayerfully and carefully and maybe out loudly, audibly, whatever. The word here for read, by the way, was often translated proclaim or speak aloud. You could read it aloud. But think about all the different ways you can read God's word. But the main thing is read it. And it's the difference between integrity and hypocrisy. Why do I say hypocrisy? Well, what do we call someone who proclaims to be a follower of God, but in their marriage, truth be told, they're not following God? Or in the workplace, truth be told, not following God? Or as a single person, she's not following God. That's hypocrisy, right? Claims to be a Christian, but if you could see this area of the person's life, man, that is not Christian. Well, what makes the difference? Well, according to this, read the Bible, right? Daily reading of the Bible makes a difference. Let me put it this way. How many of you drive a car? How many drivers we got here? Ooh, just a few. We have a lot of non-hand raisers. All right, come on. Participation time. How many of you drive a car? Oh, look at that, a lot more people than a minute ago. All right, we drive cars, so here's the test. Please don't do this. What would happen if you drive up or down I-25 between here and Colorado Springs on a weekday between 6 and 7 in the morning or between 5 and 7 at night, and you look away from the road for 60 seconds? Yeah, disaster. Disaster. Well, what if as you drive down the narrow road this year, you decide, you know, I'm going to take a break from the Bible for a couple of weeks? I mean, it could be disaster, honestly. It could be disaster. And you know why I say that? I like to ask this question. I'm not going to put you on the spot. Though if I meet with you one-on-one for discipleship, Nate Brown, where are you? Brother Brian and others, right? Frank Fayola, if he was here. I like to meet with men one-on-one for discipleship, by the way. If you want to do that, let me know. And I don't have to be the only one, but I will put those men on the spot. And I put them on the spot with this question. What is the one way that you can overcome all the schemes of the devil? The one way that you can overcome all the schemes of the devil. And typically someone will say, well, you need to, and I'll come up with maybe something like pray or read the Bible, and then I really put them on the spot, and then I say, what is the one way you must pray in order to overcome all the schemes of the devil? Now, you know what? 8 out of 10 guys won't get that one. I'm not going to put you on the spot. But maybe 8 out of 10 of you wouldn't get that. And yet the Bible teaches there is one way you must pray in order to overcome all the schemes of the devil. Praying always blank, blank, blank. Very good. In the Spirit. And then I really put them on the spot and I say, how do you know if you're praying in the Spirit or you're not praying in the Spirit? I'm going to give you the answer in case somebody tries to put you on the spot. You say, oh, well, what you do is you take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and implied you open it and read it, and then you pray in light of what you've read. That's how you overcome all the schemes of the devil. That means that you aren't going to do that if you don't read your Bible. You'll be praying not in the Spirit, which is praying some other way. It really is the difference between wisdom and foolishness. It really is the difference between obedience and sin. It really is the difference between humility and pride. It really is the difference between integrity and hypocrisy. And fifth, it really is the difference between life and death. You say, wait a second. Where are you getting that daily Bible reading is the difference between life and death? Well, look at verse 20. That his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days. You know what that means? Live. And that he may live, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. You say, well, how does this work? Well, I'll tell you how it works. The Word of God is not a dead book. This is not a dead book. The other books that you read are dead books. This is not a dead book. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents or intentions of the heart. And the Word of God, and God through His Word, will tell you things that no one else will tell you, that other people will be afraid to tell you. The Word of God will tell you things like, you're a sinner. It will tell you things like, you are no better than anyone else. It will tell you things like, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I mean, nobody else is going to tell you that, but God will. He'll tell you, you know, your heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. The worst thing you could do is follow your heart. Yet every commercial will tell you that, right? I saw a Hallmark movie, and it said, this Hallmark movie is about the power of following your heart. I heard the same is true of Frozen 2. It's going to teach you the power of following your heart. Well, I know what the power of following your heart is. Death. Because the proverb says, he who follows his heart is a fool. And the Bible will tell you that when nobody else will tell you that. And actually, the rest of the world will tell you something different. So here's how it works. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to tell you things that no one else will tell you. And it's going to tell you that apart from the grace of God and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross to save you, you have zero hope. None. Now, I mean, the only other one who's going to tell you that is a good evangelist or a good discipler or a good Christian father or a good Christian mother. But the people, the teachers at school are not going to tell you that. Your university professor is not going to tell you that. The TV is not going to tell you that. So that's how it works. God, in His grace, by His Spirit, through your reading of His Word, is going to tell you things you desperately need to hear. And it's going to be the difference between you being wise or you being a fool. It really is. It's going to be the difference between you being an obedient to God person and therefore blessed, or you being sinful and therefore cursed. It's going to be the difference between you, I got to look at my own notes, number three, being a humble person, actually, and God gives grace to the humble, or you being a prideful person and having God in battle array against you. He gives grace to the humble, but He's in battle array against the proud. It's going to be the difference between you having integrity in every area of your life or you living a life that lacks integrity, that is hypocrisy. And we know what Jesus thinks about that. Woe to you hypocrites. And fifth, it's going to be the difference between life and death. God prolonging your days and your children after you or not. So here's the question. Oh, by the way, I should say, is this automatic? Is this guaranteed? Like, you just read the Bible every day and automatically, presto, change-o, suddenly you're wise and humble and obedient and... No, there is a condition. The Word of God effectively works in you who blank believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Faith is required. If you're going to read it not believing, if you're going to read it like an unbeliever, no, it doesn't work that way. Hebrews 4:2 says, "The word which they heard did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in those who heard it." You need to believe. But here's the question. If you do believe, and I mean if you believe in Jesus Christ, are you going to read your Bible? I hope that you are convinced that it's worth it. And so let me just give you very quickly three tips to help you. Number one, have a way to take it with you. Have some way for you to take your Bible with you. Now, I'm a paper Bible guy, so I just carry this big monster with me. And it's really effective. No, I'm just kidding. I also have the Derringer model. You know, they don't even know you have it. You waited for the right moment and whoosh. Have a way to carry it with you. You could, if you have a phone, okay, and you have an app, you can, well, I have a Bible right here, and you just bring it up. Have some way of carrying it with you. That way you can read it wherever you are, whenever you're, you know, wherever you go, whatever time of day, you can read it. Have some way of carrying it with you. Number two, have a plan. Have some kind of plan. And there are all kinds of them out there. Brother Brian has been a blessing to many of us. Will you laminate a copy of this if somebody wants a laminated copy? He has laminated copies with him. He knew I was going to preach on this today, right? He has a plan for reading the Bible through in a year, covering Psalms and Proverbs multiple times, the New Testament multiple times. And this is what I followed last year. And it's laminated. You could, like, cross them off as you go and then erase it. It's really cool. There are all kinds of plans. Have some kind of a plan. Even if it's, you know, I'm going to read a chapter a day. If you read a chapter a day, it will take you 3.25 years to get through the Bible. If you read 3 a day, you'll finish in less than a year. I think if you started today and you read 3 a day, you'll finish by the end of the year. 3 chapters a day, that's not that much. That's 20 minutes. So have some kind of a plan. And third, have someone with whom you will share now and then things you've read. Could be your best friend. Could be your son, your daughter, your family, your spouse. Have someone that, hey, I was in my Bible reading this week, came across this verse. And just have someone that you're going to share some of your insights with. Well, I really do mean it when I say Happy New Year. And I really think that this will make the difference. But let me say, too, if you're here today and this book doesn't mean anything to you, God doesn't mean anything to you, you're not without hope. There's a God in heaven who has brought you here, who wants you to know that Christ has paid the price for your sins. He gave His life on the cross so that you might have life. And if you believe in Him, that's it. If you believe in Him, If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God will forgive you of all of your sins. He will give you His Holy Spirit. Your mind will be changed. You will see Christ as glorious. You will have salvation, the hope of eternal life. Everything's going to change. I wish you a happy new year, but it depends on whether you believe. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time and your word, and we do thank you for your word, which is living and powerful. And I pray that you would help me to be faithful to read it all my days. And I pray the same for everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.